It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio.
Welcome into Happy Hour. No Johnny Radio today. I'm Bryant Dacus. Zach Boyd with me today. Johnny Radio had some personal matters to take care of today, so he'll be back with us tomorrow. But me and Zach with you today. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot to get to. Zach, I really love days like today because, you know, some days, just like with any job, I mean, there are days where, I mean, you really got to find something to talk about, and you know, it could be anything, and those days could be a little difficult. I mean, they're always, I love my job, I love coming in here and talking about sports, and there's always stuff to talk about, but there are days like today where it just feels like there's so much news around sports to talk about. And so we're going to have a lot of fun today just chit-chatting about everything going on. Dustin Starr, he'll join us about 11:30. Big week in the wrestling world, WrestleMania this weekend for WWE. I know Dustin Starr is very excited about that. They're going to have a watch party over the weekend at Dave and Buster. So we'll talk to Dustin about that. We'll talk about what he's got going on with Memphis Championship Wrestling. Also, I know he was out at AutoZone Park this weekend for opening weekend for the Redbirds. So a lot to get to with Dustin. We'll do that in our next segment. But Zach, pulling the long shift today. You've been up here feels like forever today. You doing all right? You hanging in there?
Every day feels like forever.
Well, you know, some days are better than others, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm good, man. Everything's great. Good. Like, it's just, I wasn't expecting to see any breaking news earlier today. But,
wow.
Hey, but here we are.
Wow. And the breaking news, wild out of the NFL. You know, I always say, and I'm sure everyone says this, but when it comes to off season, the NFL knows what they're doing. I mean, there's never a dull moment in the NFL, whether it's talking about free agency, talking about franchise tags, draft hype, and then you get trades intermingled in there, and then before you know it, you got schedule drop, you're getting ready for preseason, you've got the Hall of Fame game, and then the regular season is upon us. But today, like you mentioned, the big news, Stephon Diggs going to the Houston Texans. Massive news for a Texans team that last year was one of the biggest stories, I think, in the NFL. One of the more fun teams, I think, that people kind of latched onto and watched last year with C.J. Stroud, the rookie quarterback, D'Amico Ryans, the rookie head coach. They were a fun team last year, but then to go out after C.J. Stroud had a great year and get a receiver like Stephon Diggs like they did, I thought that was massive this morning.
Yeah, I mean, you just add on to what they already have. You got Nico Collins, who showed out this year as the number one. Tank Dell, rookie, was just, he was just a fantasy gold for me, and I was just upset.
Oh, you had him on your fantasy team?
Oh,
man. Oh, wow. Huge
pickup. Bryant, when I tell you my soul was hurt when he got hurt.
Was that a draft pick, or was that somebody you picked up off the waiver?
I picked him up off the waiver.
Wow, smart man.
And I was like, ah, like Tank is giving me like 20 points a week. But you add him to that list. I guess they brought back Dalton Schultz for another year. Now you add in a veteran receiver. Not only a veteran receiver, but a dude that is still at the top of his game in Stephon Diggs. And you just think to yourself, like, okay, like, we were like get the running game going, brought in Joe Mixon, get the offensive line kind of shored up. Your defense was looking really good towards the back end of the season. And sure enough, you're looking at this Texans team like, They were tanking. They're a bad team. Expected to be a bad team last year. To now, you're like, could they go all the way with this type of talent, even though they don't have a lot of experience?
Yeah, well,
maybe
they might. I mean, that was the thing. You're spot on. Is like going into last season, we were all like, okay, this could be. I love. You know, I think the NBA does it the best where, you know, you have league pass, and so you call them, you know, league pass teams. You know, they might not be very good. They might not be a team that, you know, is going to be even a playoff team. But, like, I know last year you had, like, the Oklahoma City Thunder last year. They were a league pass team. You know, you wanted to make sure you were watching their games because they were a fun team. Now they've made that jump this year. The Rockets were a league pass team last year. The Pistons feel like they've been a league pass team the prior couple of seasons. Just, you know, fun teams. And I feel like that's what the Texans were supposed to be last year. But then they come out here and C.J. Stroud becomes... Nobody expected C.J. Stroud to do what he did last year, especially, and I've talked about this with a lot of other people. I don't know if we've talked about it, Zach, but I hate the fact that I felt like throughout the draft process, C.J. Stroud was judged more for being a Ohio State quarterback than being C.J. Stroud. Like, I think a lot of people were like, ooh, can we trust him? You know, you look at some of the other quarterbacks that came out of Ohio State, and they didn't pan out in the NFL. Can we trust C.J. Stroud to be a good NFL quarterback? And I didn't think that was very fair. And then he comes out of nowhere and has a great season. Now you pair him with a receiver that was clearly unhappy in Buffalo. And I'm really excited for what the season could be for the Texans.
Yeah, no, I expected C.J. Stroud to be good. Yeah. I didn't expect him to be good this quickly.
Right.
But I expect him to be good. Again, like he was in a shootout with a stacked Georgia team that you pretty much can go from player to player and say NFL on both sides of the ball.
That's right.
Like, so, and that was in a championship game. That was a semis game, excuse me, be more specific on that. So when he's balling out against an NFL level defense,
yeah,
on a collegiate level, then yeah, I think he has a shot to be really good on the NFL level. It's just, and we talk about this, and I'm kind of glad that we're officially in NFL draft season.
Uh-huh.
I've mentioned this multiple times in the past that if you're going to draft a quarterback, you got to get him in the right situation. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, oh, we need a quarterback, but your situation, the house that you built for him, isn't attainable right now. Like, you can't just say, man, we got to go get a franchise quarterback. Your offensive line is a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have any playmakers around for him. Like, who's he going to throw to? And that's always the big conversation with quarterbacks. Is like, when you give them this money, can they elevate the talent? But my thing is, why don't you just give them the talent and just elevate the team entirely instead of just try to do? And I understand, like, less is more.
Sure.
Like the reason why the Texans aren't making this move is because C.J. Stroud is on a rookie contract. But even with that, like, even if he signed his second contract, go get the man the weapons.
Yeah.
Like, don't like shortcutting your quarterback to make the roster work is not gonna be good for the entire team. And so I'm happy that the Texans decided to go in on this move. I think it's a 2025 second round pick. So it's not this upcoming draft, but it's in next year's draft.
Well, it's a handful of picks. I think it was first reported as just a 2025 second round pick. I think we got more information on it.
Yeah.
I was reading The Athletic, so it looks like Texans get Stephon Diggs. In return, the Bills get a 2025 second round pick, a 2025 fifth round pick, and then a 2024 sixth round pick. So they'll get a sixth round pick this upcoming season. But I mean, I think for the Texans, that's a heck of a deal.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, I know that a lot of times there are players that pan out from the, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round. Like, that happens. But you're not drafting somebody with that pick that's going to be like a surefire, oh, we're going to have to rely on you this season. You know, those are, you know, guys that really need a lot of work. So I love this trade for the Texans and for the Bills. I mean, it's going to hurt not having Stephon Diggs up there. But like I said a second ago, like, I do not think he was happy in Buffalo. Like, I don't think that was working. And I think they needed a change. It seemed like, honestly, it seemed like they plateaued as a team.
Yeah.
And there was going to have to be some change, and it felt like, as much as I love Stephon Diggs, that Diggs family, I mean, good Lord, look at the genes. But it just seemed like there needed to be a change. You're obviously not going to trade Josh Allen, so it felt like Stephon Diggs was going to be the choice. And so, you know, maybe it's a win-win for both teams.
Yeah, and when he first got to Buffalo, it was like, okay, cool. Like, Buffalo, Buffalo's profile took another step because you got a young quarterback in Josh Allen. Give him another weapon to throw to, especially an elite weapon like Stephon Diggs. But, I mean, again, like, it comes down to playoff success. It's like if you're not winning in the playoffs, then it's like you will start to plateau.
Yeah.
And too many times where we – a lot of people were picking the Bills. Like, Bills going to come out of the AFC this year. Because they got, like, Josh Allen's the big arm quarterback. Mm-hmm. Got Diggs. You got this weapon. You got that weapon. But then when it comes down to the nitty gritty of this team, it never was there.
Yeah.
They could never get over the hump.
Yeah.
Like, defensively, they were there. But then once push come to shove, they can't get over the hump. And so, I mean, yeah, it was bound to happen. This past season, you kind of saw some of the frustrations with Diggs coming, like with the season. And I was really hoping that the Cowboys can find a way.
You and me both, Zach.
And it's not purely just a this is Trayvon's brother that you want on the Cowboys. It's just I want to acquire as much good talent as possible.
Yeah,
and too many times, organizations always try to take the shortcut into, like, we could get more out of this player.
Sure.
I was like, no, I want the best player available.
Mm-hmm.
Not the, we can expect this player to step up for this season.
Yeah.
Because what happens if said player don't step up?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're out of luck.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you on that. I was just looking. I absolutely forgot. The Texans traded their first round pick for this upcoming draft, so they don't have a pick in the first round. They traded it to looks like Arizona.
They don't need to.
They don't need to.
But, they don't need
you
to.
Know, I was looking because I was like, man, you've got your quarterback, you've got a running back, you've got your receiver. I was curious what kind of the mocks had them doing. If they had a first round draft pick, but they don't. They have looks like a pair of second round draft picks. So can do some damage in the second round, which would be good. But I really like this team going into next year. I think they're going to be probably like the trendy pick of like, ooh, I'm going to go off the wall this year, and I'm going to pick the Texans to be in the Super Bowl, or I'm going to pick the Texans to be in the conference championship. Like, I already see that coming from a mile away, and I don't know if I think they're wrong, but it is going to be interesting. I want to get this in, and we can. If we don't have enough time for it, we can certainly come back to it. But the other big news from last night in the sports world was the, I guess, idea, you would have to say, of Bronny James entering the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Obviously, biggest name in sports because of his last name and who his father is. But I think a good player. Watching him
now, let's put
with
some
USC,
respect on Savannah now. Like,
that's right.
Like,
that's
Savannah,
absolutely right.
Savannah in her own right.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right about that.
Is up there with LeBron.
You're right about that. But Bronny, for his own right, I think a good player. Certainly a lot of expectations on him. A lot of eyes on him because of that last name. But last night, you started seeing reports that Bronny James was in the transfer portal, was going to enter the transfer portal, and it kind of just took on a life of its own, and everyone kind of wondering where he could go. Obviously, Andy Enfield, his head coach at USC, was announced a couple days ago as the new SMU coach, and I think had his introductory press conference yesterday for SMU. So obviously no head coach currently right there. Definitely want to talk about that later. Eric Musselman is set to interview for that job today. But all of this started, it's very, very weird because we already know the transfer portal is so wild. But last night, Dick Weiss, who covers college basketball, tweeted out this tweet. Quote, USC freshman guard Bronny James is entering the transfer portal. Good for him. Needs to get away from the Hollywood hype. Best of luck to LeBron's kid. Well, obviously, after that, everyone started tweeting it out. Oh, Bronny's in transfer portal. Bronny's transferring. Bronny this, Bronny that. And they were citing Dick Weiss as their you know, as the one who reported it. And so you see all these people, okay, maybe he'll go to Ohio State, maybe he'll do this, maybe he'll do that. And then you started seeing tweets and reports saying, all right, hold up, his name's not officially in the transfer portal. I haven't heard anybody else that can confirm he's entering the transfer portal. Let's maybe slow this down a little bit. Well, Dick Weiss ended up deleting that tweet and then tweeting, quote, can't confirm Bronny James story, guys. Still think it's an idea whose time has come. Makes sense if it happens. I love the kid. Think he could be a star elsewhere. So I guess someone just, you know, told Dick Weiss, hey, Bronny James might enter the transfer portal, and he kind of ran with it and then had to backtrack it. But certainly a possibility with his head coach gone, and would certainly become maybe not the, certainly not the number one player in the transfer portal, but the most talked about transfer in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and gosh, like who doesn't want to have Bronny James just to have LeBron show up to his games, you know, every now and then. Mm-hmm. It's going to, like, because I know he dropped a few teasers on his timeline.
Who, Bronny did?
Yeah, Bronny.
Oh, did he really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, so he dropped him in a West Virginia jersey.
No, I think that was a fake Bronny.
Oh, that's
James
a fake
account.
Bronny
I
James?
I think so, because, okay, because my brother was sending that out. I don't know if that... Yeah, I don't think, because I found a tweet, and the bio is like, your number one source for everything on Bronny James, not affiliated with Bronny. Hey, here's the thing. I understand Twitter's a wild place now. This guy has a check mark beside him. You can get your check marks now by just paying money. Yeah. Look, if you are either, one, impersonating Bronny James on Twitter, or two, have a Bronny James fan account on Twitter, get a life. I mean, what are you doing with your time? I mean, there are so many people that you could impersonate and or have a fan account for other than Bronny James. I mean, that is tad overboard, I think.
Yeah, fandom is getting kind of weird.
It's different.
It's
but yes, I did see that because, like I said,
I initially thought that was him. Like, okay,
right.
Because that's what prospects do these days. Like,
oh, yeah.
They drop pictures mm-hmm. of like different jerseys on them. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, like, well, Duke, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was Duke, Ohio State, West Virginia, and then there was one picture where it was like an actual picture of him at USC, but they were playing Cal, and so like in the background it's Cal's arena, and you can see like Cal everywhere. So interesting, but
yeah.
Look, I think Bronny James is a good player and can be like really productive somewhere else. I know you look at the stats, face value, 4.8 points, 2.8 rebounds, 2.1 assists, shot only 36% from the field. But at the same time, you know, you look at everything. First off, Bronny James was like a top 50 prospect. Like, he was not rated super high. This isn't a top 25 kid we're talking about. So the expectations for him were already way through the roof just because he's LeBron James' son.
Right.
Then you add on top of that that this guy had a heart attack on the court and had to be rushed to the hospital and couldn't play for the first 2 months of the year. I'm looking now. He was 28 on 247, so top 30 kid, which is good, but like, you know, certainly not top 10, top 25 guy. It's not funny, but it's interesting. Because I wanted to compare him during the season to, like, previously rated guys around him. Like, mm-hmm. look, you know, this guy didn't produce. This guy, you know, needed a couple seasons. The year before him, the guy that was rated number 28 in the country, according to 247 Sports, was the kid on USC's team that had a heart attack the year before Bronny James during practice. So this happened at USC back-to-back years, and both of them were the 28th rated player in the class of, you know, their class for 247.
Wait, so back-to-back kids had heart attacks?
Had heart issue. I don't know if you would consider both of them heart attacks, but both of them had to be rushed to the hospital and like collapsed on the court during practice before the season started.
We
so,
need to check.
Andy Infield, we got our eyes on you. For
we
sure.
need well, Andy Infield, we need to check yeah. USC facility.
Yes, yes. No, I kind of like an underrated story, and like I don't want to put like too much because like that's I don't want to like say by any means that like any of the coaches
yeah.
or anybody is like doing something to harm these players, but it is something to note that it just happened 2 years in a row. So, but, you know, I do think, you know, give Bronny time. And, you know, 6'3", what was he listed at? At USC, he was listed 6'4", 210. So, I mean, good size. Like, I think he can be a very successful player. And I know that's, like, you know, almost controversial, like, right now, because everyone's like, oh, he's not good. He's, you know, he's a terrible player, yada, yada, yada. So that was the big story last night in college basketball, that Bronny may or may not be entering the transfer portal. And if he does, you know, Memphis was one of his teams that I think he had, like, in his top four or so, like, when he was talking about teams that he might go to out of high school. Memphis was there, and that was kind of the big talk of could Bronny James come to Memphis?
Yeah.
So hey, you know, maybe that'd be fun to keep an eye on if you're a Tiger fan and you know, want to do that. But it's interesting. And then, you know, Eric Musselman, that whole story of him going to interview at USC, which is crazy. I mean, this whole year has been crazy for Arkansas. I mean, to go into the season as a top 15 team preseason, be so bad this year, have all sorts of locker room issues where these, like, rumors come out that I'm pretty sure are all rumors. I've been told. I think everyone who is, you know, knows about it knows exactly what I'm talking about. But you have that. You have players leaving the team, coming back to the team. Sounds very familiar to me. And then, like, the whole season you have these, like, rumors that, like, Eric Musselman wants out. He wants to go somewhere else. And then season comes to an end, it's like, seems like, hey, Mus is going to stick around, and now he's going and interviewing at USC. And so, you know, we talk about dominoes falling for coaching searches, you know, SMU making that out of nowhere change and firing Rob Lanier, who I thought did a really good job these past couple of seasons, but firing him could have been that first really big domino to kind of start this coaches leaving, going to different places, because you know USC is going to hire, or going to hope to hire a big name. If they go Eric Musselman, Arkansas is going to want to do the same thing, hire a big name. So, I mean, we could see a big kind of, you know, those dominoes start falling in college basketball.
Yeah, and then you talk, and then you add in the college landscape and the shifting that has happened the last couple of seasons. Where a couple of years where you now got USC, UCLA, I think Oregon and Washington.
Yeah, all going to the Big Ten.
All going to the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. So now you gotta compete against the Big
Ten
now. So you gotta go get your guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you know, and I like Musselman. I like Musselman. It's just unfortunate how the season, especially this season, how it plays out, because that Arkansas win for the Tigers early year was going to be so good.
Zach, we could have gone through.
It was going to be so good.
Four or five wins this season that you're like, oh man, this was such a good win. And then 2 months later, I was like, oh, they beat Arkansas.
Right.
They beat Michigan, you know?
Like, that would have been a cherry on the top of that. But. But yeah, no, I think, you know, U.S., again, you're on the West Coast. There are some hoopers out on the West Coast that you can recruit. Obviously, with the portal, you could go pretty much get anybody across the country.
Hey, so nothing against Fayetteville or the University of Arkansas or anything, but USC is I would think a very easy school to recruit.
But if I'm Arkansas, and if Musselman does decide to go out west, you need to call Sean Miller at Xavier and get him in.
Interesting.
Get him in that hog red.
I like that move. I've seen a lot of different speculations, and certainly if this does turn into, you know, for real, and it sounds like as long as Eric Musselman doesn't go out to USC and just, like, cuss everybody out at USC, it sounds like the job's his if he wants it. And so, you know, I think in the next couple of days, certainly a couple of weeks, I think we're really going to be talking about who could replace Eric Musselman at Arkansas. And there are going to be a lot of big names, because I do think, and you're going to see a lot of schools, they're going to start swinging for the fences when these jobs come open, especially a place like Arkansas. You know, I think they're going to try to go out there and get somebody big, a big name, and you know, it could be from another SEC school, and then, you know, you really got some drama there.
Well, what type of SEC school we're talking about?
I don't know. I've heard a lot of Arkansas fans want them to go after Chris Beard, so you know, that's an interesting one. Obviously, his first year at Ole Miss, I thought did a nice job. You know, now we'll see if he, you know, all indications are right now that he'll be back at Ole Miss next year, but next year's a big year for him, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to this topic. Some more college basketball things I want to get to. NBA, of course. Some baseball, Tigers. A lot to get to today, but we need to get to a break because on the other side, we're talking wrestling with Dustin Starr.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now you want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back in to Happy Hour. No John today, but he'll be back tomorrow. Just had some personal things he had to take care of today. Brian Dacus, Zach Boyd with you today. And joining us now, Dustin Starr. A lot to talk about with Dustin today, obviously from Memphis Championship Wrestling. But a man of many hats, and it feels like you see him all over the place. Grizzlies games, Hustle games, Redbird games, a lot. So a lot to get to with Dustin. Dustin, thanks so much for joining us, and I just missed you. I went out to the Redbirds game on Saturday. I believe that was the only game you didn't do this weekend. I was watching the other two and saw you out there. How was opening weekend for the Redbirds?
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I was going to say, you picked the one day that I wasn't there. But there's the next homestand. I think there's seven games in a row. I'm still waiting on my schedule for that, but I'm sure I'll be at most of those. But, man, it was beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm.
People showed up at the ballpark. The Easter Bunny was there on Sunday,
wow.
So it was a lot of fun. I've never seen so many Easter eggs and stuff just scattered across the outfield. Easter egg hunt. And then, of course, happy WrestleMania week.
That's
because
right.
This weekend is WrestleMania. There's just a whole bunch going on. Buff Bagwell's headed to Memphis very soon. I caught up with him today, and that interview will be released this week. But, you pick. Grizzlies this weekend. We've got back-to-back coming up. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, plenty to get to. And you mentioned WrestleMania. I want to get into that in a second, but I want to start off with what you are doing over at Memphis Championship Wrestling. We talked last week. Y'all had the big spring break theme for that show. But what do y'all have coming up? I know WrestleMania, y'all are doing a watch party at Dave and Buster's, talking about baseball season. Y'all are going to be out with the Arkansas Travelers later this month.
Yep.
What do y'all have going on this month that people can get excited for?
Well, this weekend, Dave and Buster's. Head up to Dave and Buster's. You can watch night one and two of WrestleMania with us.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Absolutely free. Plus, we'll hook you up with a power card, and that's where you can play some games. On Saturday, night one, Kay Toomer, the Memphis Heritage Champion, he will be there hosting the watch party. And then on Sunday, I'll be there hosting the watch party because we have back-to-back Grizz games on Friday and Saturday. So, Kay Toomer, he's going to step in. The big main, 387-pounder, he'll be there with the Memphis Heritage Championship and some power cards. But then we're actually gearing up for our next TV taping on Sunday, April the 21st. And this one is pretty cool because Buff Bagwell is coming.
Mm.
And Buff's, you know, been a friend of ours for a long time. But, you know, to have him coming on April 21st, right after his Dark Side of the Ring episode airs, I mean, this is going to sell out. I mean, we're still 2.5 weeks away,
mm-hmm.
and we're probably more than 75-80% full at this point at the Wrestle Center. And you know, the week of the event is always our biggest week, so I'd go ahead and reserve those seats. MemphisWrestling.tv. I've got an interview dropping with Buff Daddy coming up, and one of the questions I asked him is, will we ever see Buff Bagwell in the ring again?
Mm.
And so he goes into detail about some surgeries and all that kind of stuff. So it was a really fun interview, especially, you know, I was a fan of Buff, but then becoming friends with Buff and being able to work with him. And don't get me wrong, there's definitely some Buff Bagwell stories out there.
Sure.
But he's always been super cool with us. And so he'll be coming in on April the 21st. I would actually like to add somebody to that. So keep your eyes peeled because you never know who might be added to that card.
Well, you mentioned that interview with him. Do we have a date that's going to be released? Where can people find that when that comes out?
It'll drop Friday on Grind City Wrestling. So grindcitymedia.com or check it out on YouTube because it is a video podcast. I believe we've had like 265 episodes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, man, there's a lot of really good stuff there. I recently interviewed Intercontinental Champion Gunther, Austin Theory, just before they came to SmackDown. So there's some really good stuff there. I think we've even talked to Buff a couple of times on there as well. And it's always something new.
That's
especially
awesome.
With Buff.
Yeah.
So, Dustin, I like to, like, over the last few weeks, I kind of noticed the evolution of The Rock. Like,
how could you not?
Like the
Rock, man.
Like, you know, he first come in, he was the new wrestler in town, and then all of a sudden he got he gets the Rocky chance, and now he's the People's Champ, and now we're in this stage with him that he's not only the Rock, obviously, but also he's the big boss. It's almost like he's like embracing the big villain role in a sense.
Yeah.
And letting the new guys come in and try to knock him off his mantle. Like, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, me and Devin were talking about it. Devin Walker, he's a big-time Rock fan. He kept slapping his forearm the entire time we were talking about it. I don't know what that means, but no, I mean, he was making the argument that this is the best Rock that we've ever seen, and I feel like that the Rock can't mess up. You know, when you're working for a company or you have a leadership role in a company where you don't have to worry, you know, about saying something wrong or whatever. I compare it to like me at Memphis Wrestling. Like, that's mine. I can do it however I want to do it. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the court at the Grizzlies, I have to do it the way that they want me to do it. Or at the Redbirds, I have to do it the way they want me to do it. But like The Rock, he's on the board of TKO. He's one of the most famous people in the world at this point. When he goes out there and gets on a microphone, I mean, there's so much more confidence than ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, just imagine since the last time he was in WWE, all the different stages and audiences and movies and award shows, and what rooms has he been in with important people where he knocked it out of the park. I'm just saying, his confidence at this point is through the roof, even more so than ever. And then also him just being older and being more mature and also being super-duper jacked really helps, too. Because you have that visual. He looks like a superhero at all times, you know. I just think he can't do any wrong. He's the final boss. And at WrestleMania, I think night one, we've been talking about this. I don't know, have you guys made some predictions or have you been fantasy booking what's going to happen yet?
I'll be honest, Dustin. I have been so excited about the way they've been building this story of Cody versus The Rock, and what it was. We were talking last week when you joined us about how, you know, that Rock versus Cody kind of got outside. They were near the buses, and The Rock was slamming him into the bus. And then what was
incredible.
It this week on Raw where they kind of set The Rock up, and you get the Cody chance, and here comes Cody out of nowhere, and they kind of ambush The Rock. Look, I am so excited. To just see what happens. I mean, forget predictions, trying to predict. I'm just excited to see what happens.
Yeah, and Cody did a great job on all that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Cody literally sold. He sold like crazy. He made the people feel sorry for him. He, you know, maybe even crying. I mean, he was just... And then The Rock continued to whip him after the cameras, you know, went off air. And they were able to use that footage where it just made The Rock look more authentic and real. So I love it, man. It's great. I just know that there has to be a roadblock in the way of the baby faces. So, I mean, I think it's obvious that the Bloodline's got to win night one because then we have to have Bloodline rules on night two.
Right.
And you notice the trailer in the background of that fight scene had John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin on it. I don't think that was an accident either. So, man, I just think it's going to be really, really, really good, and they're taking their time with these stories and doing better than ever. But definitely wanted to mention Cody in that because he took a beating. Look, the wrestling writer or booker in me was looking at the clock because I was watching with my father-in-law, Dirty Bear. And I looked down, and I was like, 7 minutes? Man, they got 7 minutes to fill here? And, you know, we do this on Memphis Wrestling. Like, it's not a match that takes us off the air. It's some sort of fight or some sort of storyline that's launching or something. And so I'm looking, I'm like, 7 minutes? That's a long time for The Rock to just beat up Cody. They got to be doing something. And sure enough, man, The Rock filled all 7 minutes of that, beating the hell out of Cody, but then also the blood and the cussing kind of made me feel like that they're turning the page into another Attitude Era or whatever the era is going to be called. But, you know, it's almost like UFC TKO, like, let's make this more real. Let's make it more adult-like. And, you know, whereas before WWE might have been worried about that blood because of the Snickers and all the sponsorship money and stuff like that. But, you know, UFC's not doing too bad with sponsorship money either.
Right.
So maybe we're going to see, you know, a more edgier. Well, I mean, we've already seen a more edgier WWE with The Rock coming back. So I think this is the beginning of another, I don't know if it's a reality era or what it's going to be called, but hey, man, as long as The Rock's on our TV screens, I'm here for it.
Yo, just imagine a tag team match between The Rock and Roman Reigns versus John Cena and Stone Cold. That is as star-powered as possible, man, that you could throw out there for WrestleMania.
I wouldn't doubt them already building to next year's WrestleMania. You know, is that going to be Rock versus Roman? Are we finally going to get it? And I know that they like to do long storylines like that because those guys can get paid.
Yes.
So, for instance, like if The Rock has a year-long storyline, they already know what they're doing, but then also that's built-in appearances, which means built-in money for those talent that are involved in that. So I love stuff like that, you know. And then you can see when they put the pedal to the metal. And like right now, WWE has pedal to the metal headed to this weekend's WrestleMania.
Well, I know for, like, you know, especially casuals and people that might not, you know, watch a ton of wrestling, but they, you know, see the headlines, they see the clips and stuff on social media. Certainly, Cody and The Rock, this whole storyline has been dominating, kind of in anticipation for WrestleMania. But what are some of the other storylines? What are some of the other matches that you're really excited about this weekend?
Oh, Drew McIntyre has been hitting it out of the park every week on his promos. Him and CM Punk on Monday, where CM Punk was trying to get Drew to mention Vince McMahon by name, which you can't do, by the way. You can't mention Vince on TV anymore.
Right.
But it was just such a really good promo. And if you haven't seen Ariel Helwani's interview with CM Punk, I would say go listen to every second of it.
Oh, yeah.
So good. But Drew McIntyre in a championship match against Seth Rollins. And, of course, you know Seth's involved in that night one tag team match, partnering up with Cody, so there's no telling what's going to happen there. But just having CM Punk there for that, I feel like the next step for them might be Drew defending the title against CM Punk, because I do feel like maybe Drew can take the title off of Seth. But anyway, they got us guessing, which is good. I know they moved the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal to SmackDown, which I love Battle Royals. Mm-hmm. I love all of that stuff. Jey Uso, yeet. They got brother versus brother, so that should be really good. I mean, really, the card is absolutely loaded, but I think one of the things that's going to be more entertaining than anything is the surprises. You know, like I mentioned, John Cena and Stone Cold Steve Austin being on those trucks, I think that they're going to appear. You know, there's rumors of Hulk Hogan. There's a lot of celebrities that are being announced for this, and then, of course, you've got the Hall of Fame with Paul Heyman going in. So there's no telling what type of ECW characters that we might see in the crowd, especially during that Hall of Fame. So, I mean, I think that this WrestleMania, probably more than any other, is going to be for that fan that's a casual fan. You know, you might not order Peacock, but you can come out to Dave and Buster's and watch with us, you know, that type of thing. Like, hey, I want to see what The Rock's doing. And then, you know, if Stone Cold makes an appearance or John Cena, Lord knows if The Undertaker might make an appearance.
Man. Oh, no.
You know what I mean? So, like, this will be the casual fans that say, hey, I want to see The Rock. And then they see all these other guys from here. I think it'll be fun.
Well, I know we're running long here, Dustin, but I want to get this last question in because I've started seeing some of these headlines, some of this on social media. Jay Morgan, who used to work here, one of my buddies, he turned me on to AEW a couple years back while he was working here. And obviously MJF, one of their big superstars in AEW, he's been kind of radio silent lately, especially on social media. But I believe today or yesterday, he broke his silence on social media after The Rock had his ex-girlfriend paint him this portrait of him beating up Cody Rhodes. MJF kind of fires back at The Rock. Is this something maybe we should keep our eye on? Maybe something brewing here between MJF and The Rock?
Yeah, you know, MJF is smart. You know, there was an opportunity for him to, you know, fire out a tweet or rub shoulders, so to speak, with The Rock, even if it's just a small detail.
Yeah.
That's smart on his part. Now he's interacting. You know, whether he's on the other team or not, you know, it's still, Oh, gosh, I bet Tony Khan would be upset. That's kind of a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. You got one of your top guys interacting with, you know, arguably the biggest wrestling star in the world right now, but he's on the wrong team.
Yeah.
You know, so you get the publicity from it, but it's like, oh, man, come on. You'll see MJF in WWE at some point. I don't know if I believe all the hype about the contracts and all that stuff. Like, these guys, most they're locked down. Like the Drew McIntyre contract rumors or Becky Lynch contract rumors. Come on. Mm-hmm. You really think that the WWE doesn't have their finger on the pulse of that?
Yeah.
You know, so I think MJF will eventually be in WWE. I think it's really cool that, you know, a couple months ago he was chumming it up with John Cena, and now he's got some tweets going back and forth, I guess, with The Rock. Hey, good move on his part.
Yeah, I'm definitely here for it. Last thing, Dustin, before we let you go, remind people about this weekend, y'all's WrestleMania watch party, and what they can expect coming up from you in Championship Wrestling.
Memphis Wrestling is on fire. We got Brooklyn Brawler coming. We got Buff Daddy coming. I've been talking to Zilla Fatu, speaking of the Bloodline. We're going to have him coming in. There's a whole lot going on in Memphis Wrestling. You can get the lineup at MemphisWrestling.tv. We're going to be back at Lafayette's coming up for Bump and Grind Wrestling. That was pretty wild. You mentioned out at the Arkansas Travelers baseball game, but then in June we're going to be back at AutoZone Park for the Redbirds. Big wrestling night for that. So there's just a lot going on. You can get all the info at MemphisWrestling.tv. But Dave and Buster's is super easy. You walk in, you hang a left, you'll see the huge TV screens, the sound is on and everything, and you'll see a bunch of crazy wrestling fans over there. Just come holler at me, holler at K-Tumor. We'll hook you up with a power card. We'll all watch WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2 together. That simple.
I love it, Dustin. Sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks so much again for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Thank you. And shout out to Johnny Radio. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Thanks, Dustin. Dustin Starr, he joins us every single week to talk wrestling, and like I said, I mean, you can see him pretty much anywhere. If you are a sports fan in Memphis, there's a good chance you're going to run into Dustin Starr, whether it be wrestling or the Grizzlies or the Redbirds. I mean, literally everywhere. Yeah. Hustle, he's down at the Hustle Games, so he does a little bit of everything.
But funny thing, I was just, you know, indirectly.
Yeah.
I just saw the wrestling center.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, so this is the wrestling
center. Oh, it's here. How about that? Yeah, here it is.
I was getting ready to stretch, and like, yeah. But there's no ring out for me. So I was like,
we sneak in and get a little match. I'll be honest. I am not, by any means, I would call myself like a wrestling fan or anything. Like, I'm not super like locked in. Like, again, like I said to Dustin, like, I'll see the updates. I'll see the like tweets and stuff about it. Jay Morgan, who I'm still really good friends with, that used to work here, he's a big wrestling guy.
Yeah.
And so he keeps me kind of tuned in, lets me know what's going on. But I am really excited to see what happens with Cody Rhodes and The Rock. Like, I have become invested in this.
It's going to be interesting. I'll keep my eye on it. I'm not the biggest wrestling person, but I keep my I look on Twitter and kind of keep.
I'm in. I'm in on it. I think I'm gonna be watching this weekend for WrestleMania. I'm really excited. But we need to get to a break. A lot more to talk about. But let's go ahead, grab a break. And on the other side, who knows what we'll talk about? We'll talk about something. We'll do that next on Happy Hour with Johnny Radio.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Only a couple more minutes in this hour before we need to get to another break to start hour number two. Bryant Dacus, Zach Boyd in for Johnny Radio. He'll be back tomorrow, so don't worry. You only got to put up with us for a day. But Zach, since we don't have a lot of time here, I want to talk a little baseball here. We got a handful of games starting at noon. But last night, nothing crazy really in the baseball world. it was really a couple nights ago where we had a lot of interesting stuff. But I don't know if you've seen what is happening in Oakland with the Athletics. Obviously, we know kind of the big story of, you know, seems like they're moving to Vegas, but it's not going to be till, you know, a couple of years, and we don't know really where they're going to play following this, like, you know, where after this season, pretty much. And so it's an interesting story. But on the field, some people are curious as to what's happening because the Athletics had to make a move. I believe somebody came off the injured list or something. They had to send somebody down, and they end up sending down Estruy Ruiz, one of their outfielders, young outfielder, only 23 years old, who started the season only 7 at-bats, so a very small sample size, but was batting .429. To start the season. He gets sent down. Brent Rooker, a Memphis native who was their only All-Star last year. Obviously, in Major League Baseball, every team has to have an All-Star. But he was the guy as their All-Star last year. They bench him, and some people are saying that there is a common denominator to these decisions that Oakland is making, and that common denominator is both Brent Rooker and Estruy Ruiz were both wearing bracelets, those, you know, rubber bracelets, for like a restaurant that is like a big part of the like A's protest, like where they're against the owner of the A's. It's like a big part of that. And so people are thinking that that's why these guys were demoted, because they were promoting a restaurant that is very much against the Oakland A's management and leadership. And so it's an interesting story to start the season. But I don't know if I think that was the real reason they did that. But I don't know how much I agree with them sending down a guy that's batting over .400 to start the season. Here it is. Fan group Last Dive Bar, one of the organizers of the A's fan protests against ownership that has taken place over the past year, offered a theory on social media as to why these seemingly inexplicable moves were made. The players offered support to its group. Both Ruiz and Rooker have worn merchandise of Last Dive Bar, with Ruiz wearing a gold wristband with the group's name on it during multiple games last year. They also have a picture of Brent Rooker wearing the same wristband or a similar wristband. And so they think that it's because they're supporting this A's protest group is why they were demoted.
What if that's their favorite restaurant?
See, now I'm starting to think, I don't know if it's a restaurant, because it doesn't say restaurant, it just says organizers. So I'm not sure what Last Dive Bar is. It sounds like a
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's a dive bar, then it's a restaurant. Like, what if that's their favorite hangout spot?
Oh, interesting. It's an apparel company. It's literally just a protest group.
I'm on their website, and
it's literally just like clothing and accessories for, because they're saying Oakland Coliseum is baseball's last dive bar. Interesting. And so it's just like a bunch of shirts against the move to Las Vegas and against this ownership group. So maybe they have legs. I don't know.
Maybe. But I mean, interesting. Listen, they've been a poverty franchise for a long time.
Yeah. Oh man,
for a long time. And I just, you know, my parents have always taught us. That's something my parents have also. They always taught us, like, if you want to move, or you want to get a new car,
uh-huh,
or you want to get something that you want, you have to plan and put in the work ahead of time.
Sure.
So that you can eventually get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hey, they didn't put the work in. They just like, hey, let's just go to Vegas.
It's like, you know what? We don't like it here. Nobody shows up. How about we move? And then everyone was like, that's a great idea. And then like a week later, everyone was like, wait a minute, where are you going to play? What are you going to do?
Right.
How are you going to get there? What's going to happen? And so I saw they met with Oakland leadership yesterday to try to get a deal done for them to stay at Oakland Coliseum until their stadium is ready in Las Vegas. That meeting did not go well.
I bet.
And so now they're going to meet. I guess they've been meeting, but they have another meeting set up with Sacramento to maybe play in one of the stadiums in Sacramento. So this is not good. The A's are bad again. You know, surprise, surprise. They're playing the Red Sox right now. Lost in extra innings yesterday, a wild game. I wish we had more time to talk about that game because that game was crazy. I don't know. It's certainly a fun storyline to start the baseball season of, like, maybe the fact that the A's are so upset that players are supporting their fans, basically saying thank you to the few fans that show up to their game by wearing these, like, anti-move bracelets.
Yeah.
That they're like, hey, you're not going to play for us anymore, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
So maybe something to keep an eye on. But we are late for a break. We need to get to a break. And when we come back, to start the top of the hour, I want to get into some NBA news. It was a busy night in the NBA last night. Grizzlies back in action tonight up in Milwaukee. So we'll talk some NBA next. You're listening to Johnny Radio's Happy Hour on Sports 56.
If your head explodes with us for bones too, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon.